You know, we continue our journey through the book of Jeremiah. We continue to look at some of those different highlights in his life and the different messages he was called to bring to life to the people. Jeremiah had spent a lot of time, as we looked at over the last couple of months, pointing out some of the flaws in his country and helping the people to realize that the time had was coming and in fact had come where they needed to change the way they were living life, where they needed to come up with some new priorities, and they needed to turn their hearts back to the God who was so faithful to them every day. Today, then, we came to the point where Jeremiah began to speak to the people as half the country was sent off into exile and the rest of the country knew that they were going to be sent off into exile. He began to speak to them on a tough time about God's promise for the future. It said, even though we've come to this place in our lives, even though we're dealing with all these challenges in life, God has plans for us. God has a hope for the future. He wants to give us a future. He wants us to prosper. And so He wants us to build homes and build families and plant gardens right here while we're in exile. And don't worry, the exile will come to the end. Will come to an end. But rather than just telling them it would come to an end really soon, He came right out and said, no, it's probably going to be 70 years or so. Talk about downright depressing news when you turn on the TV at night. But then we come to this place in Jeremiah 32, where God asks Jeremiah to do a new thing and to proclaim good news and a hope and a future to the people in a new way. And so Jeremiah 32, verses 1 through 12, God tells Jeremiah to go buy a field. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. The army of the king of Babylon was then besieging Jerusalem. Jeremiah the prophet was confined in the courtyard of the guard in the royal palace of Judah. Now Zedekiah, king of Judah, had imprisoned him there, saying, "Why do you prophesy as you do? You say, 'This is what the Lord says. I'm about to hand this city over to the king of Babylon, and he will capture it.' Zedekiah, king of Judah, will not escape out of the hands of Babylonians, but will certainly be handed over to the king of Babylon, and will speak with him face to face, and see him with his own eyes, and he will take Zedekiah to Babylon, where he will remain until I deal with him," declares the Lord. "And if you fight against the Babylonians, you won't succeed." And Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me. Hanamel, son of Shalom, your uncle is going to come to you and say, 'Buy my field at Anatah, because as nearest relative, it is your right and duty to buy it.' Then, just as the Lord had said, my cousin Hanamel came to me in the courtyard of the guard and said, 'Buy my field at Anatah, in the territory of Benjamin. Since it is your right to redeem it and possess it, buy it for yourself.' I knew that this was the word of the Lord. So I bought the field at Anatoth from my cousin Hanamel, and I weighed out for him 17 shekels of silver. I signed and I sealed the deed. I had it witnessed, and I weighed out the silver on the scales. I took the deed of purchase, the sealed copy containing the terms and conditions, as well as the unsealed copy. And I gave this deed to Baruch, son of Neriah, the son of Messiah, in the presence of my cousin Hanamel and of the witnesses who had signed the deed and of all the Jews sitting in the courtyard of the guard." So here in the middle of all the world that just continues to fall apart around Jeremiah, God shows up again. This time telling him to go out into the courtyard and to proclaim a new message, but not to speak any words about it to the people, but to really walk the walk rather than talk the talk. So Jeremiah, go out into the courtyard and go out and exercise your faith. Your cousin's going to come, and because you're the next of kin, you have the right, the duty to redeem this property. You have the chance to buy it all back. And so make sure you pay him everything that it's worth, and you record that deed to the future, and make sure you put it in just the right place. Oh, and don't forget, nobody's going to get to use that land for quite some time, because those that aren't in exile are going to be sent into exile. Families are going to be stripped from that land, and even though they own it, somebody else is going to be enjoying it.
Talk about a chance to be able to get a good buy on a piece of property. But Jeremiah doesn't take advantage of it. He listens to what God says. He pays his cousin everything it's worth. And he plants seeds for the future. He puts his money where his mouth is, if you will. He doesn't just stand out there and tell the people that God cares about him and God's going to give him a future. No, he buys a piece of property so that somebody down the road is going to be able to stand on that piece of property and remember where it came from and to celebrate God's faithfulness. Jeremiah didn't know whether he would ever stand on that property. He didn't know who would enjoy it in the years to come. But he stepped out in faith and did what he needed to do anyways. What a mighty faith. What a powerful message that he proclaimed. You know, we talk about a lot of the different gifts that God gives us, and perhaps one of the greatest gifts that God gives us is the gift of faith. To pass on to others, to share in all kinds of different ways, to pass on to children and grandchildren, to great-grandchildren, and to all kinds of other people in the generations that we're working with, and living with, every day of our lives. The reality of it all is, no matter where we are in our faith journey and how we understand our faith and what it means in our life every day, the one thing that we can all recognize and I'm sure agree on is that whether we like it or not, we're passing things on to others. We're passing things on to the next generation. I'm reminded of that often when Will and I are in the truck and he loves to listen to country music and there's a lot of songs that I love to listen to with him as well. And he's got a CD of Rodney Atkins that he really enjoys. One song that really stands out to me is a song that talks about a dad and his son. And they're riding in the truck. And suddenly dad has to slam on the brakes. And some french fries go flying. And along with those french fries goes a couple of four-letter words. And dad says to his son, "Son, where'd you learn to talk like that?" He said, "Well, I've been watching you, Dad." Anybody ever been in that place? Anybody had to deal with nightmares like that? And then he comes to another point in his son's life and they kneel down beside his bed. And his son just pours out his heart to God. And he prays to God like he's talking to his best friend in the world. And they're just going back in conversation. And he says, "Son, where'd you learn to pray like that?" He says, "Well, I've been watching you, Dad." Whether we like it or not, we're always passing on things to others, to the next generations. The question is, are we willing to really think and be intentional about what it is that we're passing on? We live in a world where we see news reports and letters to the editor and all kinds of different forums that share news about the state of our world. It talks about how difficult life can be. It talks about how dangerous life can be. How many times have you heard people say, "I really worry about what life's going to be for my kids"? How many times have we heard, "How will our grandchildren and great-grandchildren deal with the debt right here in our own nation? I really don't know if I want to have kids because I don't know what it's going to be like for them to grow up." You ever heard those things? You ever heard those comments? What are we passing on to the next generations? Certainly these comments are a call to really look deep inside and look at the culture we live in and to look at the world we live in and the choices that we're making. If you remember way back in the beginning of Jeremiah, when we were talking about Jeremiah's life, we talked about what it meant to be a prophet. And a prophet was somebody who believed that God was actively involved in life every day. And a prophet was a person who believed that the actions that they took made a difference in the life of others every day. In a very real sense, God calls us to be prophets to those that are up and coming in our lives, to those that we're walking with on the journey through life every day. We're called to think about the things we say. And while certainly these, as I said, these comments should call us to look inside and to look at the choices we're making, they also call us to look inside and say, what are we proclaiming? The Bible, from beginning to end, we hear God speaking and something new happening. Sometimes it's like in Genesis where God just kind of speaks out of this mighty place where we really don't see God. But then we hear of these times like Jeremiah's life where God's speaking through people in very real ways. But through it all, the one thread that's in common is the fact that when God's proclaiming something new, it's going to happen. God's word's the same today as it was yesterday. We hear that theme lived out in all kinds of ways. So if God has continually had a hope for His people and for this world that God has created, then how are we going to proclaim that hope to those around us? Will we continue to just speak out of those curses, those doubts, those unbeliefs of and the despair for the future? Or will we allow that despair to drive us to look at life in a different way and to exercise the faith that God has given us? You know, faith really, as I said, faith is a gift that we've been given. It's a faith that we get to pass on to other people. But it's also a gift that has to be unpacked. It has to be understood. We have to gain understanding of what it means in our own lives so that we really can pass it on to others. Faith isn't one of those gifts that we can get at Christmas time and then forget, say, oh, wow, this is awesome, and then put it in the closet and forget. Faith isn't one of those gifts that we can look at and say, wow, how beautiful is this thing, and put it in a glass curio cabinet so it doesn't get covered in dust. Or somebody doesn't touch it because they might break it. Faith is more like a muscle. It's one of those things in our lives that we really need to exercise. And there's all kinds of opportunities to do that every day. At least that's what I've come to find on my journey through life. I don't know about you, but I've found all kinds of opportunities where I've had to exercise my faith because I just didn't know what tomorrow was going to hold. I didn't know what challenge was going to come. I didn't know if life was going good when the next challenge was going to come. There's all kinds of opportunities every day to exercise our faith. But what if we're not too sure of that faith? What if our faith seems a little bit wishy-washy? What if our faith kind of comes in waves? And sometimes it's right there crashing on the shore. And sometimes all it is a little bubble out on the horizon. What if our faith is like that? I mean, is that real faith? I believe it is. One of the greatest examples of faith I heard from a pastor, she was addressing what was Troy Conference of the Methodist Church at that time. And just a reminder, again, that was the churches of Vermont and many of those in northeastern New York. She was addressing all kinds of pastors and leaders about her own faith journey. And she kind of explained it like this. She says, you know, I have things that happen in my life, and she'd had a lot of things that had happened. She says, things happen in my life, and I'm not sure what to do with them. And I know the Bible says that I shouldn't worry about them, and I should pray about them, and I should give them to God, and I should let go of them into God's hands. And so she says, I offer them up to God in prayer, and suddenly the load seems to be lighter. Suddenly life seems to be different. Suddenly I seem to enjoy it more and more every day. And so I let these things rise a little higher and a little higher. But then suddenly I'm not sure what to do next. So I reach up and grab hold of them all. And I bring them back down again. And so I begin to worry and wrestle and struggle with them all. And then I realize that's not doing me any good. So then I offer them back up again. And they begin to rise and they begin to go back to God. And the life begins to get a little easier. I don't seem to worry and stress about it as much. I begin to feel better. But suddenly I'm not sure what to do next, and I grab hold of them and I pull them back again. Anybody ever been there? What a form of exercise, isn't it? You know, talk about different ways that we get stretched in life and different ways that we need to stretch our lives and stretch our bodies. Sometimes it's all woven together. As we continue to journey through this month of giving thanks, as we continue to journey through this time of looking at the lessons that Jeremiah offers us and what a wonderful mentor he's been down through the ages. How are you exercising the gift of faith in your life today? What are the benefits? You know, we talk about exercise a lot. We read about it. We see it on the internet. We see programs about it and talk shows about it. And there's all kinds of studies that have been done where they document the results of exercise. They document how good it is for people because of the changes that are made. What are some of the ways that you can stop and give thanks today for the benefits of exercising your faith? some of the differences that it's made in your own life. Maybe some of the differences it's made in the lives of somebody else around you. We don't know what opportunities in the next week we'll have to exercise our faith. But I do believe we can be sure there'll be some. So how will we step into those opportunities? What will we do with them? What fruit will we, what benefits will we notice from them as we gather back together next week? As you think of others in your life, as you think of the next generations that are coming up behind us, maybe your own children, your own grandchildren, your own great-grandchildren, maybe just friends and neighbors or children of friends and neighbors that you come in encounter with from time to time. How are you passing on that gift of faith to them? How is that coming alive in some new way? As we come to an end of the message this morning, let's join our hearts together in prayer. Good and gracious God, your word says that you're the author and perfecter of our faith. Your word says that your faith is a gift to us. It's something that we can live our lives out of every day. So many times we struggle with the opportunities that we get to exercise that faith in. But we thank you that you're a God who's faithful anyways. We thank you that you're a God who loves us enough to remain loyal to us on the journey through life, no matter what we're dealing with. As we've looked at the nation of Israel, we've seen the mistakes that they've made. But yet, Lord, your faithfulness never left them. Your love would continue to be made known in many ways. Help us to recognize the ways that you are bringing faith into our life each and every day. Help us to recognize ways that we're exercising that faith each and every day. Help us to celebrate the benefits of that exercise as we share it with others. Through the love, through the joy, through the peace, through the wisdom, through the understanding that we gain in life. Help us to see the people that you'd have us share these gifts with, Lord. These gifts wouldn't get lost in all the other busyness that goes on. Thank you for meeting each and every one of us right where we're at. Inviting us to grow. Challenging us to walk with you just a little bit closer. Inviting us to share your grace in some fresh new way. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Continue to make your presence known as we each respond to your invitation to grow in faith in a different way. As always, we ask these things and so much more, looking forward to what you and you alone can do. Amen.